We are in Siman Resh Ayin Aleph, and we spoke last week mostly about the idea how Kiddush D'oraisa does not require wine. Wine is only D'rabbanan. But D'oraisa, it's an Amira Bilvad, and we said that you might even be Yotzei by Davin. We discussed lots of different Nafkamina. So just a couple of interesting side halachas here. We're in Resh Ayin Aleph, Sif Gimel. So the Shulchan Aruch here writes, Im ein yado maseges liknos yayin lekiddush ulahachin sarchei tsuuda lechvod halaylo lechvod hayom ulekiddush hayom. So you don't have enough money for wine Friday night, food Friday night, wine and food Shabbos morning. So what gets preference? Mutav shiikne yayin lekiddush halaylo mima shiyachin sarchei asuuda or Mima shiyikne yayin letzorech hayom. Meaning, what's the number one preference? Wine for Friday night kiddush. Now, why should that be? We just said that kiddush midiraisa, you don't need wine. So why is it getting the edge over food for a meal? Food for a meal is oneg Shabbos. It's a divrei sofrim. The karasel Shabbos oneg. So the reason is because ikaros the Mishabura writes beikar kiddush is diraisa. Even though kiddush ala yayin is not diraisa. But because Kiddush, B'ikr, at its core, is D'oraisa, so it gets first preference over everything else. And that's where your water goes, that's where your money goes to first. However, the Mishabura does also point out that the truth is the first thing you should probably buy for Friday night is challah. Because you can make Kiddush on challah, right? We don't generally do that, but you're able to make Kiddush on challah. So therefore, if you buy challah, if that's all you can afford, so that would be able to cover Kiddush, and also you'll be able to become Suda and Gimel Su'udos, so that would be your first choice. Now, all of this is despite the fact that we have a halacha that a lot of people are not aware of, and that is what the Shulchan Aruch continues and says, V'hod d'tanya kavod yom kodem l'kavod laila, and even though we have a principle, kavod yom comes before kavod laila, that's not in reference to wine. So, what's this concept? This concept is that we're really supposed to invest more in the Shabbos day meal than the Friday night meal. This is very counterintuitive because most of us, we think of, you know, the night meal, someone once said it to me very nice, that the night meal on Friday night is like a nice fancy dinner. Shabbos day is like a barbecue. Like that's how someone said it to me once. You know, Friday night meal, you have the soup and the wines come out and, you know, and then the Shabbos meal, you know, you have some cholent, you have some schnitzel. You don't invest as much. It really should be opposite. You know, really, you're supposed to put more investment into the day meal than the night meal. And the only reason if you only have a little bit of money, we go for the Kiddush wine at night, is because that's the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush. There's no mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush during the day. We do Kiddush, but that's only d'rabbanan. It's not a d'oraisa. And even though the night Kiddush is only d'oraisa without wine, you don't need the wine. Yeah, but it's be'ikr, it's d'oraisa. And the mitzvah is d'oraisa. You're just doing it in the d'rabbanan with all the d'rabbanan trimmings. But and this is despite the fact that we have this halacha that kavod yom is adif. And I'll just point your attention to Mishnah Berurah here in Sif Katan Tes. He quotes, u'b'sefer yam shel Shlomo, the Marsha, he's kore tagar al she'en nisharim b'zeh. The adarabah, mosifin b'leil Shabbos. This is not a new phenomenon. The Marsha lived in the 1500s. The Marsha apparently used to rail against people that they would, or he would bemoan the fact that people were investing more in the night meal than the day meal. Now the Aruch HaShulchan does say that if you have food that will be served better at night, you're able to serve it at night and not during the day. Meaning, all things being equal, if you have a nice roast, you should really be saving that for the day. But if the roast will taste better Friday night because it's fresh and it was just cooked, and to heat it up Shabbos morning on the blech, you know, the bottom gets a little bit, browner and it gets a little harder. So then that, Aruch HaShulchan says, then you don't have to save the best for the day. But for instance, and again, this is, I don't think we operate this way. If you have a nice wine, do you use it for Friday night or do you use it for Shabbos day? Use it Friday night. And according to this, you really should be using it. Now, maybe there's different because you're using it for Kiddush. But let's say it's not for Kiddush. Let's say you make Kiddush on grape juice because the kids don't like wine. So you make Kiddush on grape juice, and then you bring out the nice bottle of wine. So there is an Indian maybe to bring it out more during the day. Bring it out more during the day. So
you could argue that, you know, that the Oyling Shabbos should depend on when a person will enjoy it.
Saying if the Friday night meal is one, you know, you don't want to have wine during the day, then you're groggy all day. Friday night, it's nice to have the wine, sit on the couch, open a safer for 30 seconds until you fall asleep, and that's your how you enjoy Shabbos, right? And I hear that. Okay, in Sif Dalid, Osir Litom Klum Kodem Shiyakare Shafilo Mayim. So you're not allowed to eat and not even drink water before you hear Kiddush Friday night. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa writes that if it's before Shkia, you brought Shabbos in early, and you're Bitsar, then you can drink water. He's Mekil if it's still before Shkia. It's not really Shabbos yet. It's only Shabbos because you made early Shabbos. Then you can drink. But in general, once Shabbos has begun, so we don't drink, rinsing your mouth out, the Mishnah says, is okay. So let's say you didn't use mouthwash yet. You're going to go to shul and you want to use mouthwash, that's fine. If Shabbos has already begun, the Minchas Yitzchak writes that if you haven't taken medication and you need to take medication, so you can also take medication, because when you take medication, you only drink enough water. If you only drink enough water to get the pill down, you actually don't even make a bracha. That's the halacha. You don't make a shahakol if you're only taking enough of a drink to get the water down. If the drink is orange juice, then you may always make a bracha, even if it's just a drop to get the pill down. But if it's water and it's only enough to get the pill down, you don't make a bracha. So by extension, we assume that you also would be able to drink to take the pill down before, even though you haven't made Kiddush yet. Okay, Sif Tes is very practical. Those are just some last halachas about the Kiddush. Sif Tes here in Reish Ayin Aleph is very practical, and this is discussing, we have more Mishnah Berurah here. This is discussing the relationship between the Kiddush and the Challah. So this is going to be something that's very, very practical. What does the Shulchan Aruch tell us in Sif Tes? Sorach shtei mapo al ha-shulchan tachas apas u-mapa acheres prusa al gabov. When you make Kiddush, you need to have a challah cover, a mapa, underneath the bread and also on top of the bread. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says, what's the reason why you have to cover the bread? So Mishnah Berurah brings two reasons down. We're in Reish Ayin Aleph. Two reasons. Famous reasons. What's the most famous reason that we all learned in kindergarten? Well, that you went to a very advanced kindergarten. But what's the more kindergarten answer for why you have to cover the bread? Not to embarrass the bread, right? You learned as a kid not to embarrass the bread. And what does it mean to embarrass the bread? So the Mishnah Berurah says what it means. It doesn't mean to embarrass the bread. You can't embarrass something that's inanimate. Thank you. That was the word I was looking for. Inanimate. So
my kids would dance now, but maybe it doesn't see. Maybe they hear.
through the covering.
My kids would dance now, but maybe they hear.
Very good. So what does it mean? So he says, it's very simple. We have something called Hamagaish. We have an order of brachos that need to be made. The first bracha, hey, Hamagaish is the acronym. Hey is Hamotzi. First bracha, you have in front of you a table full of foods, drinks, foods, fruits, vegetables. The first bracha you make is Hamotzi. Second bracha, Mem, Mizonos. Third bracha, Gimel, Gefen. So really, the order of the brachos, as they should be made, is that you should be making Hamotzi before HaGefen. And you're going to sit and make Kiddush on HaGefen, and you're going to skip over the bread while the bread is sitting there. It's very embarrassing for the bread. Right? The mashal would be, you know, you're picking a team, a basketball team, and you know you're the best player, and they come, they pick some other player, and you're sitting there, you're very embarrassed, you know, you're the player that should be picked first. They pass right over you. So last deal, you have here the bread is supposed to be picked first. It's the more chashuv one. And you pass right over him, and you pick something that's much lower than him, it's embarrassing. It doesn't really mean it's embarrassing. It means that you're going out of order the brachos. So what do? We cover the bread, and by covering the bread, it's like there's no bread here. I don't see any bread. Okay, so it's totally justified to make Kiddush because the bread has been removed from the table. That's the first reason that's brought down by the Mishnah Berurah. The second reason, Yana Dioma, sort of the Parshios now, a week or two ago, and that is Etzecher Man. That the Man, it says, had a covering underneath of Tal, then the Man, and then another covering on top of Tal. So to remember, that's the Shalosh Sudos are, and Lechem Mishnah is to remember the Man. So we cover the challah, which means that it's not really connected. Right? What's the difference between these two explanations? The first explanation is all connected with Kiddush. Because I'm making Kiddush first, I need to cover the challah. The second reason has nothing to do with Kiddush. It has to do with Damotzi. Damotzi, the bread needs to be covered in order to make Amotzi. So there's some fascinating nafkamina. The first, most basic one is what the Shulchan Aruch writes. The Shulchan Aruch writes, where do you have to put the covering? On the top and on the bottom. If it's for the bracha, so it just needs to be covered out of sight. There's a table underneath it. It's covering on top. You don't need a covering underneath it. But if it's the mon, the whole idea of the mon is there was a layer of towel underneath. There's a layer of towel on top. So you need to be able to cover the top and the bottom. There's an interesting question. What would count as a covering? You know, we have, most of us don't have a covering underneath. We have a tablecloth. That's not a covering for the challah. But we do have a special covering, challah board. You don't just, I imagine most people don't just have a slab of wood to cut on. They have a nice challah board that says, L'chavod Shabbos Kodesh. So we look at it as, we need something to cut on. But it could be that's the covering for underneath the challah. But that would be our first nafkamina. Do you need to cover on top and on bottom, or only on top? But there are a number of really fascinating nafkamina. A bunch of them are mentioned actually here from the Mishnah Berurah. You can almost turn this Mishnah Berurah into a little bit of a lom d'shashir, because you have a bunch of nafkamina between the two approaches. So another one that the Mishnah Berurah himself brings down, I don't know if we would have necessarily said this, but this is what the Mishnah Berurah says, how long do you have to keep the challah covered? So if the whole reason we cover it is for the bracha, so you only have to keep it covered until after Kiddush. When you finish Kiddush, you can uncover. You can take off the cover and say, wow, look at the challah the imam made. Come, let's all go wash. It looks so good. But if the reason is because of the mon, so the Mishnah Berurah suggests that while you're making the bracha, it should still be covered. Because you're making a bracha on covered bread, zecher l'mon. And therefore, it should really be covered while you make the bracha. I ate once at Rosh Hashiva's house, Kashrut for Rosh Hashiva, and I remember when he made hamotzi, he lifted up the bread, he wrapped it in the covering, and he made the bracha holding it. He had his hands on the challah underneath the coating, but he had it covered while he made the bracha. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah says, lefi the first time of embarrassing the bread, it only needs to be covered until you finish the Kiddush. Once you finish the Kiddush, there's no more embarrassment. But if it's because of the mon, it has to be covered until you make the bracha or while you make the bracha. Another interesting nafkamina. Let's say you forgot to cover the challah. Forgot to cover the challah. You made Kiddush, and the kid says, oh, Abba, you forgot to cover the challah. So if the whole reason is because of the bracha, so you know that ship has sailed already. You know, you already made Kiddush when the bread was there. You already embarrassed the bread. There's nothing you can do anymore. What, are you going to cover it now? That doesn't help. But if the whole inyan is Zecher L'mon, so then it should cover it now. So that way when you make Hamotzi, the bread is covered. What about Suda Shlishis? How many people here for Shal Shittis? The halachas are supposed to have lechem mishnah at Shal Shittis. But do you cover the challah before you make hamotzi on it? Now, if you hold like the Rambam held that you make Kiddush at Shal, what, in the middle?
After
hamotzi. After hamotzi. Oh, so it's not, anyway, it's not an issue. So so what about a Shal Shittis? What would you say, a Shal Shittis? So if it's for the bracha, there's no reason to cover the challah. There's no Kiddush that you're making before. So there's no reason to cover it. If it's Zecher L'mon, so the third suit is Zecher L'mon, just like the first two are Zecher L'mon. So you would need to cover it when you make your bracha. And this is interesting. This is actually paskened up. The Kaf HaChaim writes that you should cover the challahs for Shal Shittis. He writes explicitly to cover the challahs for Shal Shittis. And the Aruch HaShulchan says there's no need to. There's no need to. You're not making Kiddush. There's no need to. So you see that depending on which reason you put your stress on is going to dictate that halacha. This is also a really interesting one that you reminded me of a little bit when you said about your kids asking about the listening. What if you have and I can see this being a trendy thing, let's say you have a clear covering. See-through covering. If the idea here is that, you know, I'm covering it to remove it from the table, that way it's justified to make the Kiddush first. If it's see-through, this is the Shemir Shabbos quotes this, that if it's see-through, that's not called a cover. Because it's covered, but I still see it. It doesn't remove it from the table by covering it with something that's see-through. But if the whole inyan is just Zecher L'mon, so what does it matter if it's see-through or not? The issue is to have a covering on it. In fact, the towel was probably see-through, right? The towel was water. So you have it covered with a see-through covering if the reason is because of the towel. So then you fulfilled your obligation. If it's to get it off the table so that I can make Kiddush, the horror see-through covering is not good.
You're making it sound as if there's a dispute, one or the other. Who wouldn't say it's an
order? So we'll see.
It's an order of the brachos, and it's an order of the Sefer Lamar.
You're 100% correct, but I could argue, let's say, against the first approach. I could, theoretically, because I could say that it's true. Normally we have, meaning the Har is 100% correct, which is why we choose it. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's both reasons.
Who would say
but that? I think you could argue on some of them. So for instance, the first argument of the order of the brachos, you could say, listen, generally, when it's just a brachos shayla, we do amotzi before Kiddush. But on Shabbos, when there's a mitzvah of Kiddush, so then halachically, you're allowed to make Kiddush before amotzi. Now, if I use the mashal before, then there's like the good basketball player. He's the one who's always picked first. And they choose like some other guy. It's very embarrassing for the top player. You know, he's expecting to be picked. But what if it's like that other kid's bar mitzvah? So then it's justified that on his bar mitzvah, we're going to pick him first. You know, it's his special day, so we'll let him do it. So same thing, if it's Shabbos, so if the Kiddush is Kiddush, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, so maybe it's fair to make Kiddush before Hamotzi, even though in the brachos world, Hamotzi should come first. So you could theoretically argue on the svara, but you're 100% right. We don't really have to choose one or the other. But I'm just bringing out that depending on which... Now, the Rishonim bring different reasons. Like one Rishon writes one reason, one Rishon writes the other reason. So it could be that those Rishonim held their reason and not the other reason.
I once saw a pshat, I don't remember who named, that it's not for the bread so much, because taka, the grape juice should be first, the wine.
In the Shabbos.
But the thing is to teach us that we should enjoy bread the whole year, so you have to talk in amidos to cover it.
Yeah, and we should be sensitive. We should be sensitive.
And I forgot my food.
Very nice, very nice. Another interesting thing that comes up quite often is what if you're at a simcha? What if you're at a yeshiva? What if you're at a big gathering and it's a ufruf? So they're going to have, the chassan's going to make kiddush for everybody. The baal simcha's going to make kiddush for everyone. Does everybody have to cover their challah? You always see people say like, okay, everybody, we're going to make kiddush. Everybody cover your challahs, right? Someone always announced, you know, cover your challahs. Is that really necessary? So Rav Moshe writes in Igros Moshe that yes, everybody should. And he says, because both reasons apply. Even if I'm not making Kiddush, it's still not respectful that there's bread out and Hagafen is being made first. The bread should really be coming first. And he says that the whole idea of the Zecher Laman, so everybody should be, everyone's being Mazkir the Man. Everyone wants to remember the Man. So everybody should cover, that's what Rav Moshe writes. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that he doesn't really understand why other people need to, why everyone else needs to cover. He says, L'chora, that in terms of the bracha, that's really only cheshbon for the guy making the bracha. I'm sitting in the crowd, I'm not making the bracha. My bread on the table is not disrespect because it's my bread. And I'm not making hagafen. He's making hagafen. So his bread has to be covered. He says, also the man, why does everybody have to remember the man? Now, he doesn't say this, but I'll just, you know, you have a seder. Not everybody at the Seder has to have the Zroa Zecher L'Korban Pesach. You have one person who has the Seder plate in front of them, and he has the Zecher L'Korban Pesach. That covers everybody. We don't need everybody to do it. So, and Rosh Hashanah writes, he thinks the minhag to be Meko. He writes, he thinks the minhag to be Meko. You don't have to have everybody covering. There's also an interesting discussion about covering mizonos at a Kiddush. Some people are makbid to cover all the mizonos at a Kiddush. Now, if, like when you have a Kiddush here in Shul, now if the reason why we cover the bread is because of the bracha, so Hamotzi's first, what's number two? It's not grape juice, it's mizonos. So in terms of that reason, you should probably be covering it. If it's Zecher Laman, so the mizonos is not Zecher Laman, right? It's Blacha Mishnah, it's the bread. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes that also. He says that at the Kiddush, like in terms of the bracha, there's reason to cover it. In terms of the, now he's Lashitoso, so he would say only the person making Kiddush should cover the mizonos plate in front of him. Not everybody needs to cover their plates. That's Shlomo Zalman Lashitoso, that you could be Mako. But if you're a Rav Moshe person, and when you're at a Simcha, you're the one who's like telling everyone, oh, everyone has to cover their challahs, so you should be covering everything at a Kiddush also. All the mizonos should be covered because of for the bracha. But if it's mitzad the man, so there's no Zecher Laman seemingly in the cakes and in the cookies. Let me just share with you something very, very interesting. There is a third reason brought down by the Rishonim of why to cover the bread at the Suda. And we quoted, the Mishnah quotes two reasons. The bread, embarrassing the bread, meaning the brachos issue, and the issue of the man, Zecher Laman. So the Rishonim quoted another one. The truth is, if you look even here in the Shulchan Aruch on the Ber HaGola, there's no Gemara that says you have to cover your challah. There's no Gemara that says that. And that's because in the times of the Gemara, they did not cover their challah. The reason they didn't cover their challah is because in the times of the Gemara, the challah wasn't on the table. Why was the challah not on the table? And the Gra says that that's the ideal way to do it. Oftentimes in our house, we have a minhag to forget to put the challah on the table. And he'll be in the middle of Kiddush, and my wife will say, like, oh, the challah. And already, she knows, I always say, it's fine, leave it. Why? The Gra says you don't put the challah, because that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that after Kiddush, you bring in the table with the challah. What are you talking about? Bring in the table? So back in the times of the Gemara, they didn't have big dining room tables like we have. You know, people ate reclining. They would recline on a bench, on a sofa. And, you know, when they're fanning them with the leaves and they're dropping grapes in their mouth and they're leaning on these couches. That's, they used to, not necessarily with the leaf and the grapes, but they would recline on a couch and they would bring in front of each person a little table. Now, the Gemara says that when you get home from shul, the table's supposed to be set, right? It's the famous Gemara about the malachim that bring a person home. If the table's set, so then the good malach says it should be like this next week, and the bad malach has to say amen. And if the table's not set, so then the bad malach says it should be this way next week, and the good malach has to say amen. So whatever the point of the Gemara is, what's very clear from the Gemara is that the table should be set before you get home. So what does the table mean? What does it mean that the table should be set? We showed him more that what that means is that the table should be set with plates and that the challah should be on the table already. But the table's not in the main room in the times of the Gemara. Table's someplace else. So you make kiddush, there's no bracha issue, and then they bring the table in with the bread. That's how it was in the times of the Gemara. So that's why there's no mention of covering bread. But Zecher Laman is mentioned by the Rishonim. Then it's in the times of the Rishonim that the Rishonim are bothered about covering the bread. Why? This is just a fascinating historical point. In the times of the Rishonim is when they started using dining room tables. Big tables. I have to tell you, when I was buying my dining room table, when we first got married, we had Kamina of young couples. We didn't have a nice dining room table. And then we got a little older, we decided to get a nice dining room table. So I did a little bit of research because, you know, there's the legs at the edge, a base in the middle. There's different types of tables. So I was doing some research. I found a website for a company in America that makes beautiful tables. And I was reading up a little bit about the different styles of tables. So on their first page, they have the history of dining room tables. And it says that from the 1400s, people in Europe started using dining room tables. So I started to write an email to them. I backed off. But they're wrong. It's not the website was wrong. It's not the 1400s. Because Tosfos writes in Pesachim, Tosfos lived in the 1200s. Tosfos writes that, and for us who use dining room tables, so you see in Tosfos that Tosfos knew better than this website. Already 200 years earlier, they were using dining room tables in the 1200s. So Tosfos has a problem. Since we have dining room tables, you can't lug the dining room table in and out of the room. And the table needs to be set. But if the table's set, that means that the challah is on the table. And if the challah is on the table, how are you going to make kiddush? That's Tosfos. So Tosfos comes and says, we're going to need to cover the challah. We're going to need to cover the challah. And then other Rishonim start saying, oh, and you know what? When you cover the challah, it's also Zecher Laman. And they start giving other reasons. But all of this began, this covering the table, seemingly covering the challah, because they were, now Lechora, according to the, because they got dining room tables. Now Lechora, the whole idea of covering it because of the mon, so that, maybe they did that before, you know, in the side room, they covered it on the side. But the real halachic need to cover, you know, mitzat halacha, came when they had these big dining room tables. So in that discussion, Tosfos quotes a third reason why you need to cover the challah. And he says, and this Lechora has nothing to do with the bracha, has nothing to do with the mon, he writes, Yakra the Shapsa. The Rashbam quotes this. He quotes this actually from the Gaonim. So this is before they had the dining room table. So you see that these Tamim applied even before, right? We're not trying to suggest that they only started covering challah when they got dining room tables. The halachic issue of making kiddush started at that time. But what's this third reason? Yachrid the Shabbos. What does that mean? It means covered Shabbos. So what I think it means is, you know, you sometimes see in like a fancy restaurant, they come over, the waiter, you know, and the food is covered with some, you know, metal covering. And then he goes, you know, voila, and he takes it off, and the food is, at a fancy meal, things are covered, and the waiters come and they uncover the food. So that's another reason to cover the challah, is because Tosfos says, yakra de shapsa. And if you learn like that reason, There are those who argue that when you make Kiddush, all the food on the table should be covered, not just the challah. Cover the challah because you can't make Kiddush if the challah is on the table, because the challah should be on the table first. You cover the challah because it's Seichel Aman. But in terms of Yakrid the Shapsa, there's a greater kavod for a meal when the food is covered at first, and then you uncover the food. So that's a third reason that's brought down by the Rishonim. Okay, let's just go a little bit further. We have a few more minutes.
The word doesn't mention.
He doesn't mention that one, right? That third reason not mentioned. That's mentioned by Tosfos, by the Rashbam in Psachim, but it's not mentioned here by the Mishnah Berurah. All right, let's take a look at Sif Yud as we continue here in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph. So what does he write? Mekadesh al kos mala yayin shelo yeh pogum. You make kiddush on a kos mala, and it's in order so that it shouldn't be a kos pogum. So what does this mean? A full cup. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Pei Gimel, that's where he discusses kos shel bracha by Birchas Hamazon. So he writes that the cup should be to the very top. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that to the very top, when it says kos mala, doesn't mean literally. You know, like the little kids at the kiddush, right? That you see it here on Shabbos, the little kids, they take the soda and they fill the cup up to the very, very tippy top, and then they have to like lean over and slurp out because they filled it up too high. That's not, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, that's not what it means. You know, some people are very makbid to fill the cup up to the very, very top. And Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that that's not necessary. It means basically to the top. The normal way that you would fill up a cup to the top, that's what's required, and that gives a kavod to the kos. What if you don't have enough wine to fill up the cup? So I think a lot of people think that this is like a yarig ve'al yavo. How can you make kiddush on a cup if it's not full? So Shavur here says explicitly, right here in Sif Katan Mem Beis, he writes that if you don't have enough wine to fill up the kos, so you fill up the kos as much as you have. He says, first of all, the best thing to do is if you have a smaller cup, pour it off into a smaller cup and fill that kos up to the top. But if you don't have that, so you make kiddush on a half a cup of wine, it's fine. As long as there's a revius, you're fine. How much is a revius? Revius, the most makel shita that a revius is around 80 milliliters. 80 milliliters is very little. You know, it's in American, it's 3.5 ounces. You know, what's a shot glass? Like an ounce and a half? Something like that, a shot glass. So we're talking about two shot glasses. It's not a lot of wine. That's the minimum. The Chazon Ish was more machmir. He said 5 ounces. And a cup like that is probably a good 8 or 10 ounces. A cup like that. So we're talking about the most machmir, the Chazon Ish, half of that. So that's why if you don't have any wine left and you only have half a cup, the half a cup is fine. It's better to be full. It's better to use a smaller cup. But if you don't have wine, you can do that. What's pogum? Pogum means a cup that's already been drank in from. If I drink from the cup and then I give it to you, you can't make kiddush on that. Because that's called pogum. Now there is a way to be metakein pogum, and that is you just pour a little bit more wine in. If you pour fresh wine in, it's metakein the cup. That's why people don't realize that if you make kiddush, you could discuss with your wife if this is hygienic, if you want to do this or not, but if you make kiddush on a cup of wine and then you drink a revius, and now there's a lot of wine left over, you want to throw it away, so you really want to pour it back into the bottle. But it's pogum. So you just pour from the bottle a little bit into the cup. That's the taking it. And then you can pour it back into the bottle. It's a way to save wine if you, you know, let's say you have a very nice wine. You want to be mechaved kiddush. So you take out a really nice bottle, but you're not going to drink the whole cup. So you can pour half of it back. Just pour a little bit in. That's the taking it. And then you're okay.
Why can't you pour it from another cup?
Originally, you could have done that also, right? You could pour out and then you could drink from that. And then that wine can go back in, right? You could do that as well. And then you should just, when you pour out, you should make sure you leave in your cup a revius. There's an Indian to drink from a malilugm of a revius. There's a bunch of other dinim the Shulchan Aruch here adds, and then he says that in addition to this, you should be makbid on all the other dinim of a kos shel bracha. So what are some of the other dinim of a kos shel bracha that we should be makbid on when we make kiddush? So one is that the kos should be whole. There shouldn't be cracks, especially in the upper lip. There shouldn't be a crack or anything like that in the cup. Now this is only lechachila. B'di'eved, it works. B'di'eved, you can make kiddush on a cup that has a crack in it. But l'chadchila, it should be whole. L'chadchila, it should also be a chashuv cup. It's a famous tshuva from Rav Moshe, where Rav Moshe writes not to use a plastic cup for kiddush, or a paper cup for kiddush, because it's not chashuv. Now again, he's talking l'chadchila. He says it's not really a kli. Now, that's why you see sometimes people, when they make kiddush, they double up a cup. You might have seen when people make a... They want to make kiddush with a plastic cup, they double it up. Why? Because that gives it a little bit more chashivas. They're doing that to be choshish for Rav Moshe. Even though Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Ravaj are both right, they don't see the issue with the plastic. They don't see the issue with the plastic cup. They also have to realize, I don't know, you know, here in Eretz Yisrael, the plastic cups are very, very flimsy. You know, you touch the sides of them, and if you've been to America recently, you buy a nice plastic cup. It's not even clear. It's like a whiter color. And it's much thicker. It's much. Many postmen say when Rav Moshe, I think they write even. I think it's even in writing that when Rav Moshe said that you can't use a plastic cup, he was talking about very, very flimsy. The cups that they make nowadays are much, much stronger. I guess obviously it depends on how much money you spend on the plastic cups. But many of the plastic cups are much stronger. And another din that we find of kosher bracha, again, the Shulchan Aruch here says, you should be machmen on all the dinim of kosher bracha that we find in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel about kosher shel bracha. So when you're making bracha samosa. So what are those dinim? It should be full. It should be chashiv. Another din that we find is that it should be clean. And therefore, that's the reason why people have a minog to wash the kos out before they use it. Even if the cup is clean, they wash out the kos. The truth is that the Mishnah Berurah writes that over there, that if the cup is clean, you don't have to wash it out.
Right,
exactly. So the Mishnah Berurah says on that, that's because you have to make sure that it's clean. But if you know that it's clean, you don't need it. But the Aruch HaShulchan brings down, the Zohar and other sources, Kabbalistic sources, that there's an inyan to wash it out. That's why certainly people who come from more Hasidic backgrounds, they're very machbid to always wash out the kos on the inside and the outside. It could also be that if it sits in the cabinet for a whole week since the previous Shabbos, so it is. It's full, especially here in Eretz Yisrael. There's dust, and you know it gets dusty, so you should wash it. But you should know that Maker Adin, it's not, Mishnah Berurah writes, it's Mishnah Berurah. He writes that Maker Adin, it's not required if the cup is clean. Again, the minog is many people do anyway, do shtifa, they wash out the cup.
Is there a problem if there's moisture on the outside? They wash before,
and then the hands get wet if they touch it. Right, well, we'll talk about that. Right. Another din that we find over there in Kuf Pei Gimel is that there's an inyan to lift the kos up with two hands, and then to move it into your right hand, if you're a righty. If you're a lefty, to move it into your left hand. Although here also, the Mekubalim say that even a lefty should make Kiddush with his right hand. But again, that's the straight up halacha. So the lefty makes with his left hand, the righty makes with his right hand. You lift it up with two hands. Sometimes you see that people do it for other people as a form of kavod. But even for yourself, that's the most lechafila way is lift it up with two hands, and then you hold it in your right hand. And the Mishnah also brings down from the Shla, there's an inyan that you really should be holding it in your hand. And that means not to hold it like this, but to put it in the palm of your hand and to curl your fingers around it. And I'm sure you've noticed that you see people when they make it, they're machmir to hold it in their hand. That's the Shla. It's Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Shla, which again, the Shla was also often brought a lot of Kabbalah into the halacha. And these are the dinim of Koshel Bracha that we're supposed to try to be machmir on when it comes to Kiddush.